Hello and welcome to My Songs Suck, the show where we listen to bad songs from good writers. I'm Alex Smith and I'm a musician.
I'm James Keogh and I'm the friend of a musician. Let's get started.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of My Songs Suck. I'm Alex Smith.
I'm James Keogh.
And we are here with a special guest today in the studio, Rue from Rue.
Hello. Hard to remember, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much for inviting me. This is lovely.
Oh, thank you. You are you're pretty ingrained in the Brisbane music scene. You've been playing for years.
Yeah, I'm like a disease. I just stick around. But yeah, I've been playing music for a very long time in Brisbane. I had a big break from that and then came back into it and do some other things in the community, writing about music and talking on Triple Z. And yeah.
Amazing. What did you do when you had your break?
I decided to, you know, be a normie.
Oh, okay.
So I was just working full time.
No music at all?
None. I didn't pick my guitar up. Wow. I didn't even really listen to the music I liked. I just tried to get it out of my head.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it was torturous. I don't know why I did it. It's like self-flagellation or something.
Well, since then you've been like gigging all the time. Like all the time. You're always gigging. It's wild. It's cool.
It's inspirational. Heaps of fun. I haven't really played as much as normal lately. We've still been pretty steady. I found once I started, people kept saying, hey, do you want to come play? And I'm not good at saying no. So, yeah, why not? And it's fun and you get to watch other bands and, it's good stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of other bands, you seem to be like networked to everybody. I know that, aside from playing with like everybody, we need to play together sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
Your blog, Rue's Live Experience.
Yes.
Where you do, live gig reviews and album reviews and lots of other cool things.
Yeah.
You've had Aurora Storm Baxter from Daisy.
She's written for the blog and everything.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
Finn Taylor is my keyboard player.
Yeah.
We're going to have Finn on. We keep mentioning
that. Yeah, we got to have Finn on. We love that guy. Mm.
But yeah, you just seem to know everybody. It's wild. You know, my manager.
Paul, heck, did not know him. Yeah.
So you brought a song to us today.
Yes.
It's called You Don't Want to Know.
Yes.
Not the sequel to Do I Want to Know by the Architects. but did you want to tell us anything? Like, do you want to give us any context to it before we listen to it?
Okay. Mm. So this is, I've been playing music since I was a child. Mm. My dad's a guitarist and he taught me. I know nothing about music theory, just, you know, sitting just around like a hillbilly in the lounge room playing country music. But I wrote this song when I was 16. It's the first song like I ever wrote.
Cool.
And it's got 3 chords in it.
Oh, nice.
And I don't actually know what it's about. I don't know what the lyrics are from. They're just a bit sad and they're not literal at all. It's just some nonsense that came out. But over time, I've sort of picked up meanings out of the lyrics are relevant now.
Yep.
And it's still not literal, but, you do what you can to play it live.
That's cool. I like that.
That's awesome. Well, do we want to take a listen? Do we want to listen in?
No, because it sucks.
is there any, we always ask, is there anything that you want to be like, now bear in mind this and that?
Bear in mind, this was recorded mostly live. Under a house that was all concrete.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was the first time I'd ever released anything that I'd mixed myself. And again, it was after my big break in music. So it's the first time going back to like recording and mixing.
Right.
With terrible equipment.
How old were you when you wrote this one?
I was 16 when I wrote this one. And I'd done a fair bit of stuff up until I was in my early 20s. And then there was the break. Mm. And then this was the first EP I decided to do. So I was in another band called Cheezel Dust, and that was with
great name for a band.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That was with Davey from Buzzkillers and Goodwill Remedy, Andrew from the Killer Queen Experience, and Dean Hamilton, who was also in Rue, and we recorded this one together. So
wait, is the Killer Queen Experience like a Queen tribute band?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, awesome. It is.
Is there there's a gig coming up, and it's like the Killer Queen Experience and like the ACDC tribute act and like all these.
Oh, whoa.
That's
what a night. That's
cool. I've seen them too. They're really, really good.
Is it each member kind of parallels a member?
They
from the
even look like them.
No way.
That's fucking cool.
It is very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry for that sidetrack. I just
wanted to. That's all right.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Shall we, listen?
Let's take a listen.
Okay. Right. Prepare to cringe.
This is You Don't Want to Know.
And you just heard You Don't Want to Know by Rue on My Song Suck.
Yeah.
There you go. There's a radio voice.
Very good radio voice.
I love it.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I don't think this song sucks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Get out.
What have you done here? It's not in the spirit of the show. No, I actually,
the song bangs. I was so confused. There was a bit where you were like, oh, like you were looking as if something embarrassing was going to come up. And then like you sang this really sick, awesome bit.
Yeah.
I was like, this sounds great.
Okay.
This is great.
Well,
different strokes.
Why do you feel that this song sucks?
Right.
Oh, I think just because it reminds me of the teenage angst.
Oh, yeah.
See, it must be me personally. It it's three chords and it's, you know, and it's, you know, I was saying while we're listening to it and I was cringing, it's got my little George Harrison try-hard slide guitar. I don't even know how to play slide guitar.
It sounded quite good. Oh,
thanks.
Because this was after you took the break, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I had to try and teach myself how to play guitar again and I'm still not where I used to be.
Wow.
So it's taking a very long time. But yeah, so I'm just... thought it sucked.
I think this is a good insight for our listeners in terms of, yeah, you are your own worst critic. So I think there's a lot of people listening who'd be like, this is fucking sick.
Aww.
You know? And so people who are just like, my songs are bad. But, you know, like, we all feel like we can do better, but like,
never as bad as
you think. Good.
Oh, thank you. That song we still actually have played live.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't sound like that anymore. It sounds like a metal song.
Oh, okay.
So, so he's doing the little drum roll and goes, we just go, boom.
Oh, nice. And same lyrics and everything?
Exactly the same. Cool. The ending's a little bit different. I don't do the little fluff around bit at the end on guitar. We just leave it with the vocals, but we only play it if people ask for one more song. And the joke is, fine, you're getting the first song I ever wrote then. It sounds nothing like the rest of the set, but people like it. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? I wrote that when I was 16. And it's crappy.
I've written Swampy Groove.
Swampy Groove.
So I could definitely see how it could like get metalled up, that kind of like dirgy.
It was weird seeing people at Tomcat once headbanging in slow motion to this sad song. I was like, what is wrong with you? Thank you for coming, but that's weird.
Yeah. You were mentioning as it was playing with the timing for this song. So what, you just like didn't have a metronome or something?
No.
Or?
So we recorded the guitar and drums live in the same room at the same time. And because we had a room mic set up and also like instrument microphones, we had to put a big sheet up between us so that the sound wasn't filtering through the other microphones and we couldn't see each other. So we were trying to like sneak through. There was a little gap. I'd pegged some things together and there's a little gap and there was a little bit over the top and we're trying to look at each other to keep in time because we didn't really spend much time on this EP or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
It was demos and we just sort of wanted something to do.
Sure.
So, yeah, I was having a bad time that year. Some bad things were happening, so I literally needed the distraction.
Wow.
And we weren't really, you know, paying too much attention about making sure it was good or anything. It was something to do under the house and we ended up burning a gazillion CDs and just giving it away to people.
Oh, cool.
So,
yeah. That's a cool way to do that. It's just like... not having it, you know, just having it be something for fun, for a distraction, and worrying about, you know, oh, is it perfect? Is it this? You can just sort of have fun with it.
It's good to remember, especially from the mistakes in that, how to record music again.
Right.
And there were some massive things that clearly were forgotten there, like the compression issues or, you know, the levels were wrong or, you know, I've used the wrong microphone for certain things and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, probably wouldn't get away with that now, but it was really good at the time.
These days, you are...
No, I last time I still used the curtains as soundproofing. Yes, the last EP we did called Tales of Rebellion was recorded the same way.
Oh, wow.
But
cool.
We did the instruments individually rather than live.
Yeah,
and but it was all the same equipment and same setup, room.
Why was it under a house? Why did you do that?
Because that's where our equipment was and it was just literally at our house.
Sure.
So just went under the house.
Would the sound of like escaped other side and like annoyed the neighbors and stuff?
No, it was pretty good and it was out just outside of Brisbane too. And all the people that lived in that street were musicians.
Oh, really?
So they didn't care.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but there was hardly any sound that used to get out anyway because of my little pegged sheets.
Hmm.
Nice. And I eye rolled for people listening at home. But so we just did it there. No one seemed to mind. And
that's good. Yeah. That's awesome.
I've been trying to form a baffled pun.
Baffled?
Baffled?
Yeah,
why is that?
So like if you
talk me through the pun and then we'll workshop it.
So like the thing you put up to stop sound from escaping is called a baffle.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
I see. Like, baffle, there's something baffle, there. Baffle. You're right. We'll get
baffled.
There.
I've got nothing.
It's there.
It's on
there
the
somewhere.
By the end of the podcast, we'll have
keep listening. We'll get the pun joke.
I'm sorry, I'm wasting your interview time.
It's all good. Puns are more important.
Exactly. Yeah.
I love a good pun.
You mentioned mics and stuff. What gear did you have for the gearheads out there?
Some very old microphones. Dean actually bought. I didn't pick any of this stuff. Dean actually bought them. So we had some little condenser instrument mics and the big condensers, some dynamics and just a little mix and match. We even used my really old microphone that I bought from Allen's when I was like 17.
Oh yeah.
And it's terrible. And it sounds like, you know, that awesome like condensed sound on, is it Maz from Wax? Is that her name?
Possibly.
She's fantastic. Whatever her name is, she's great.
Sure.
But they have this awesome effect on her voice a lot of the time. Mm. Mine already sounded like that because it was broken.
So
we used that and we even used it, I think, to record some percussion and it ended up sounding really good. And we used to use whatever we had lying around. The album afterwards, I made I can't remember what they're called, the thing that goes...
It's like a fish made of wood.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, what's it called? I can't remember. I'm baffled.
There we go.
The scratchy fish.
Yeah, the scratchy fish.
Well,
I used a dining chair and one of Dean's, what are they called? Brushes for the snare. And we just.
Wow.
It was weird. So we used to just use
whatever
equipment was around
and, that's awesome.
And whatever was literally around to make sounds. So it was fun.
That's really cool. Yeah.
I was going to say, this song is like, if you just look at the lyrics, this song looks like it's going to be like 10 seconds long.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel like it's too short or too long. It just feels like a really good length. It's just like, it's full. I don't know. It's really weird.
It's strange because it doesn't really have any massively different sections or anything. It's just the same three chords, but just, I don't know, it's probably just playing around on that same theme. Mm. Because I wasn't very good at songwriting. But it was, I've always found it a really fun song to play. And I think I was playing, my dad was saying, oh, you got to work on your hammer-ons. And I was practicing my guitar in my room and I was listening to Angie, I think, Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah.
And I may have pinched some of their chords for that one.
I can hear that. Now that you mentioned
but
that.
But I didn't have a cool bridge.
Oh,
well.
There you go.
Yeah.
How would you? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that's how that one came about. But
I was going to say, how has your songwriting style changed since this first song?
Well, that's probably as good as I could do at the time. Like that was, I've done a hammer on and I'm playing at individual strings. Yeah. Like I'm so cool. I was also very worried about being good like everybody else.
Sure.
But I couldn't care less anymore. Mm. I don't care if the song is the right structure. I don't care if people listen to it. I just like doing it.
I'm
excited when people listen to it, but that's not why. I don't really care for the rules of music. I don't care for the rules of marketing. I don't care for any of that. So
I
think that's probably changed my how I go into it. I don't have any sort of barriers.
Nothing
in the way.
Back. Yeah. You just sort of do what you want.
Yeah.
And to your credit, you're thriving. You're thriving.
You've
got a good attitude and people are responding. And
It's funny though, because you say, oh, you've got no rules or whatever, and you end up writing a pop song.
Yeah.
But that's because it's, what you want to write.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. And we've done a lot of different stuff. So that EP was acoustic. The one after had heaps of instruments, a lot of MIDI tracks, a lot of piano, heaps of vocal layers, synth bass in it.
Wow.
The one after was mostly piano. And I think apart from one song that Dean played brushes on, it was all me playing all the instruments.
Cool.
And it was completely different again. And then the last one was more of a sort of rock album. And Shane, who is Bassy McPlayer in the band, and Dean, who was old mate Dino in the band, also had songs that they'd written that they put in there as well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really good.
So it's like when you sort of aren't too concerned about what's your, quote unquote brand or, what is, your style, you could just sort of do whatever.
Well, music's music. It's just talking to people in a different way. And I think you have to be honest. Some people have certain rules and a path they want to go down, and sure. that's fine. That's yeah. totally cool. You're communicating. I just don't really care which musical language we communicate in. It, yeah. it doesn't really matter as long that's as really it's cool. music.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I dig that. I dig that. You have such a powerful and gutsy voice.
Oh, thank you.
did you have lessons? Did you?
I had a couple of lessons when I studied music at university because we had to.
Sure.
But no. Most of them I didn't actually turn up to. I was a very bad student.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was a terrible student.
Rock and roll.
Did you enjoy university?
No, I hated it. Oh, and wow. I was a really, okay. really good student in high school. Yeah, but yeah, yeah. studying music at university, I thought it'd be great, but I actually really didn't like it.
Why
I
is
loved.
That?
I suppose I didn't have the theory, so I didn't understand right, the musical yeah. language we were talking in.
Mm, yeah, mm.
And I didn't care for the rules.
Sure,
so,
yeah.
I just wanted to play rock and roll with the boys in yeah, Cheezle yeah. Dust. So it was well worth the $15,000 to meet some nice people. Mm. But apart from that, no, I didn't really enjoy it at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have passed even if I'd stayed. I was there for 4 years and I was still doing like a second year class.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wasn't very good at all.
Would you say that the real music degree was the friends you made along the way?
I would. They were some expensive friends. But it's great because I got to play jazz, I got to play blues, I got to play rock, I got to play pop, I got to play piano, you know, and I played with some people that are in – some really world-class bands now, and I'm not going to do the name drop thing, but
sure.
And they're lovely, and I learned so much from them directly rather than from like the theory classes or whatever about performing and about getting along with other people. So I think that was very important.
Definitely. Yeah. I think, having a space where everyone is sort of like-minded in the sense of making music and stuff. I find the same thing because I study drama, and one of the biggest benefits of that is the fact that I'm able to surround myself with people who just love making stuff and making art and like collaborating. Awesome. It's really, really cool. Yeah.
And people will have different ideas.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah. Cool. It's awesome. So good.
Awesome. How long have you been studying drama?
Since 2015.
Oh, so wow.
I've been going for 4 years doing a double degree. So
okay.
it's a bit longer. Chucking in a bit of IT in there as well.
Wow. Just, drama and IT. That's an interesting
it's
double
a bit
degree.
Of a mix, yeah. But that, you know, is just because I figured I might have something to fall back on if I, you know, focus on the drama, focus on the performance kind of stuff and the creative aspect of it, but have an extra thing just in case.
Wow.
Who knows?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was going to say, no, I didn't enjoy that. I love my boy. Rue is such an inherently Australian band. Was that like an artistic choice or is that just who you guys are just kind of coming out?
I think the name is just a nickname and it's my nickname and I just couldn't think of a band name. So I said, I'll just use my name. I have heard that before. It's funny because I'm not really like a skippy kind of person. Like I've got a very culturally varied background. Mm. And it's not really Australian.
Right.
So it's very odd that that happened. I think it might be because there's a character, Big Red Roo, that I play when we play live. And she likes to swear. And I've noticed when I swear or when I'm yelling, I sound a bit like Bogan. And
it's
there's nothing
Australian,
wrong with that.
Yeah.
But that's just how it comes out. So it might be that. We do wear flannos.
Okay,
because I thought something that's going to look really awful on stage, flannelette. And so we went with that.
Yeah.
That also might be it. I've heard that a lot, but I don't know where it really comes from actually. So it's curious. I might have to go back and have a little look at the socials and see what happened there. But yeah.
Well, that was just the vibe I got. Like I could be completely off the mark. But I was listening to your most recent EP and I was doing the
Would it
research.
Be from the song called Traumatic Spiritual Awakening by any chance?
That was one that clicked me over.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is definitely very Australian.
You can blame Basie McPlayer for that one. He wrote that.
Yeah.
And we went out of our way. I produced that one and I said, everyone get in this room and we're just going to yell and and that's how it turned out.
That's
and I was poor Shane, he's like 6'5" and he's sweet as, but I'm going, no, just yell, go. And he's going, oh, okay. And I'm like, no, louder. Mina, Mina. And he's like, oh, I think it's feeding back. I'm like, no, it's not. So we're all just, yeah, yelling like rat bags. So.
I love the idea of this almost intentionally off-putting, like the swearing persona and the what's going to look ugliest on stage, the funny is just like doing this stuff, you know, which is almost adverse to what people say they should be doing is, you know, to be as mass appeal as possible. So to get the most, you know, listeners and stuff like that, like, well, is it an intentional?
It is intentional. Yeah. I do it with the socials as well. I say really dank things and I go like, I'm not your mother. You don't have to come, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I don't care. Anyway, this is what we're doing. It's shit. Also, I said a swear.
Oh, please.
Oh man.
Which is funny because like, my character swears all the time, but I don't. Yeah, it's intentional because I think, you know, we could go the other way, but I'd rather not. It's fun and it doesn't have to follow the rules. And Big Red Roo also says a lot of things that people have said to her, particularly men.
Right.
So she says those things and people laugh.
Sure. Yeah.
If a man said it, they probably wouldn't laugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're only ever things that people have directly said to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really interesting. That's cool. Yeah.
So
is that how the character of Big Red is formed?
Yeah. It was my way of yelling back at people.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
With their words, but a female character.
That's really clever.
Yeah, I've never told anyone that. Actually, Basie McPlayer's the only one that ever picked it up. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was before he joined the band. And he said, are you doing this? Is this a feminist thing? I said, well, you know, we're not political, but he got it.
Yeah.
So, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So if you hear an insult from Big Red Roo, it's because someone said it to
me. Someone's already been said. Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm not being terrible to you. It's just me saying what someone else has said.
That's so cool.
I really like that. That's fucking cool.
Thank you.
I feel that I wouldn't be out of place to say that I feel that Roo is like, well, I guess AC/DC, I was going to say that you're like a modern day AC/DC, but I guess that's still around.
Oh yeah, AC/DC is still here. Kicking, technically.
Ouch. Sorry, AC/DC.
Sorry.
Oh,
not so much in like the performance, but just like the attitude of just like, we're doing what we want.
Yeah.
Like this is what we do, like it or leave it. And like,
yeah, well, you know? You're supposed to have fun.
Yeah.
And if we want to do a set where we just have one of us playing or two of us playing or three of us playing, or I play piano, or we do an acoustic set with weird percussion instruments, or we play a rock and roll set. It doesn't matter as long as we're communicating honestly to people that have gone out of their way to come and see us, which is lovely. You know, it's not for money. It's not for popularity or whatever. It's just because we enjoy doing it and we try to entertain the people who come and watch, because it's hard to get people to come and watch. And if they do, you got to have something there for them.
Yeah, exactly.
So we try and put an actual show on, and we've got our characters and whatever else we do, and a tartan.
You mentioned a couple of times you bring a lot of theatricality. Do you come from like a theater background?
Well, I didn't study drama or anything, but I did a lot of drama stuff when I was in high school, and I really enjoyed it. I actually really liked Brechtian stuff.
And
I love absurd comedy and stuff like that. So I think the stuff that we come up with is usually based on things we talk about, based on things that have happened that have nothing to do with music or the songs. Mm-hmm. And we just try and, you know, put it in there somehow. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And if it doesn't, we just don't do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brecht actually did come to mind when you were describing how you do your performances in terms of what does he do to the audience?
He shocks them.
Alienates the audience. Yeah. Like intentionally alienating this audience to make them, you know, have this different point of view. It's funny that you say Brecht because it's the first thing I thought of. That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool.
Well, it's fun.
Yeah. And you mentioned as well, you come from a very musical background because your dad plays guitar.
Yeah, pretty much everyone in my family, I think, plays guitar or sings or does something, you know.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so
really cool.
Are any of them like actual musicians or is it just like?
Professional musicians, yes. My cousin Emily plays in a band called All Strings Attached.
Oh, cool.
Who else? I think my cousin Kerry also used to play professionally. I think my dad's played some gigs. I think my brother was in a band called his name, I'm not going to say it, and, right. and the Big Snakes, and they recorded a punk EP somewhere, but they didn't get it because they got drunk in the studio or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's lots of people, and I don't think playing professionally necessarily makes you a musician. I think just being able to communicate through sound of any kind or silence makes you a musician.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'd imagine, you had a lot of support growing up, and now that you're kind of in this field.
Well, I don't know about support. It's just that there was no hindrance.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just, it was so normal. It wasn't something that was encouraged. It was just sort of
a thing.
Normal.
Yeah.
You just sing. Or you just play guitar, or you make a cup of tea and you'll sit around saying, thank God I'm a country boy, or, you know, whatever, or listen to Nick Cave in the car. Or,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Just one of those things.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really cool environment.
It was different. It was different, you know, getting ready for school and listening to, you know, Billy Was a Mountain, Ethel Was a Tree Growing Out of His Shoulder by Frank Zappa or whatever. And everyone else is listening to like Spice Girls or Hit Me Baby One More Time or whatever. So,
do you enjoy modern music? Like, or are you?
I do, actually. Yeah. I hear most of it, like the commercial popular stuff in Ubers.
Oh, of course.
And I find some of the sounds that get used often. Like repeated, not necessarily my cup of tea, but I understand how they'd be very commercially viable. And at the time when the first person did it, it would have been groundbreaking.
Yeah, totally.
And where they're coming from, where their reference points are. I think the songwriting's quite good. I don't always enjoy the lyrics.
Sure.
But a lot of the time I do. I find they're a bit dank lately. Like there's some song, I have no idea what it's called, about I got paid and I'm not going to be able to pay my rent this week, so I'm going to go party or something like that.
I think
that.
I've heard,
And I was like, wow, I don't think I've ever really heard anyone sing something like that. I mean, maybe Daddy Cool might have said something about having your pay and going out for a dance or whatever.
Sure,
but it's sort of weird that sort of struggle is common these days with young people.
So. I mean, like, it's interesting. It's this very interesting voice of the young people where it's communicating like the issues that we are having,
the day to day,
in pop music, in current popular music, which is, I mean, it's cool that those sort of issues have a voice, but it's also like a poppy, happy song about, the fact that
thing is, they're literally listening to it at the club while they're dancing, singing about how they're dancing.
Exactly.
So it's kind of cool. Mm. But a lot of local musicians and Australian musicians that are putting stuff out at the moment, I get to listen to it a lot working with Cam at Echo Boom on 4ZZZ and also with the blog, and also just because I like looking up new stuff.
Yeah.
There's some weird stuff going on and it's all freaking me out in the best way possible. So, I'm really excited about music that's coming out at the moment. Not necessarily commercial, and that's only because that's not my cup of tea.
Sure.
Yeah. But I totally get how it would be a lot of people's cup of tea, and it is very catchy, which is – that the aim of it, which
I guess
is perfect,
so gets in your ear.
Good on yous.
Good on.
Do you find because obviously Rue, the band has like a very wide like pool of genres that you do. Do you find that there's anything that you could do that people would be like, what is this? This isn't Rue.
Yeah, we've played a couple of songs lately at shows like this year and they've been a bit heavier and people are going, oh, it's a bit metal. Like, yeah, we like metal. I don't know. I think because when we started playing live, it was a two piece and I don't know why I said it was indie folk. It probably actually isn't. I thought it might be. So when I was writing
a
press releases and stuff.
A lot of things fit under that category.
So people always go, oh, are you an acoustic duo? I'm like, oh, no, you're going to get yelled at. But so I think that sort of confuses people because there's been a bit of a transition and I think music does need to transform and you need to explore different things and see what works and what doesn't. Yeah, I suppose we've been told we're getting a bit heavier and people didn't think that's what we sounded like, even though they might not have listened and it's because they'd thought a certain way because of stuff they'd seen online.
Yeah.
So,
Are there any genres you'd never touch? Any song types you'd never do?
No.
Yeah, anything?
No, if it was interesting to me, or if there was something in it that I particularly liked, like melody or instrumentation or delivery, I'd do it.
Cool.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Do you find that you have like an outlet for songs just like for you to write? Are there any songs that you write just for you that aren't necessarily for the band?
All of them.
Nice.
And then I pick the ones I think might work with the band. So they're all basically singer-songwriter songs. Yeah. And then I think, well, this lyric means this to me. Mm. That might sound best if, you know, I was singing it and we got the bass to play what I was singing and I actually sang something else. It comes down to the arrangement, which is the most fun for me. Once the song's finished, which is the hard part, mm-hmm. I don't actually like writing songs because I turn into a weird freak and I don't leave the house. I'm actually serious. Like I'll just freak out and write songs. But the fun part for me is working with other people or just with a computer and figuring out how I want it to sound and why.
Cool.
And if it doesn't need to be there, get rid of it.
That's awesome.
You're very cool, Ru.
Oh, thank you.
I enjoy all this.
See, someone who was a total nerd in school, I'm not really used to being called cool, so thank you. Yeah.
No, that's cool.
No, absolutely. I like your style. Yeah. That's great. You mentioned how you write songs and that kind of stuff and how this original song, You Don't Want to Know.
Yes.
The lyrics kind of didn't really mean anything.
No, it was just that some of them matched a feeling.
Sure.
But no, it wasn't a literal.
Yeah. No. Do you, what's your process with writing music now? Do you kind of, is it more of like a search yourself, search a feeling sort of thing, or is it just whatever?
Well, sometimes it might be one certain thing that happens. It might be a situation. And that might end up being two lines of the first verse.
Sure.
And then it turns into a story about something else, but the feeling has got to be the same.
Right,
for me
right.
anyway. I don't know what other people do, but it's as long as whatever I'm talking about has the same feeling as I felt when I was thinking about the thing, whatever it is, or the event or the person or whatever.
Yeah.
As long as the feeling's the same. And so it could be for example, there's a song called Cold Comfort and there's a line, bricks and mortar crumbling. It's about a house falling down.
Yeah.
It's not even about, and it's like lines like love is lost and blah, 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 blah. It's not about that, but the feeling was the same as if, you know, your love was lost or whatever.
Yeah.
So, it's you're telling stories, but you're also trying to convey a feeling, I think, with music. You're trying to get people to feel something. So whatever works for that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Like there's a lot of poetry that follows the same.
I'm very interested in poetry and I think it's an important part of songwriting for me.
Yeah.
And I was telling Alex outside, like I'm a big fan of double meaning.
Oh, nice.
You will never get the literal translation in my lyrics. It's always been rewritten.
Sure.
So that it's different.
Layers deep of just meaning and whatever.
And I mean, even if like that sounds like I'm up my own bum, but the thing is, for me, that's important because I'm actually very shy and I don't like telling people what I think about things.
Right.
So I have to hide it in order to be able to sing it. I have to be Big Red Roo, the character, in order to perform it. So, I'm a bit of a hermit actually. So I don't really like exposing myself.
Yeah.
But I do when I perform. So when not the banter or anything, when I'm singing, that's real.
It's honest.
Yeah. But the other stuff's all smoke and mirrors to hide me, basically, so that I can still do music.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I'd be able to if I didn't.
Mm. Yeah. It's an exceptionally vulnerable thing to say how you feel about stuff.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I get that.
I don't even rate things on Google.
I have four things left to say.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Do you have any other things you want to say?
I mean, I've just been flowing with it, you know.
Well, I was going to say.
If things pop up, I just kind of, you know.
Because I've been.
It's like jazz. Podcasting is like jazz, Alex. I don't know if I've told you that.
You're out the podcast. Because I've been trying to keep an eye on the time. Because Zane isn't here again.
Zane is not here.
He's not here to be like, wrap it up, you dinguses.
No,
dinguses.
We're fine. We're fine for time. All right. I'll give you the.
You'll the do the fingers. Wrap it up, dinguses.
The nod.
Yeah. All right. So we have there's an established code of fingers
yes. for
when we're going over time. And Zane will always put like five fingers up.
Yeah. Right.
Which means we've been going for 50 minutes. But Alex either interprets it as we have 5 minutes left.
Yes.
Or like,
hi.
Or,
hello.
Or just hi. Yeah, yeah. And so the hand gestures never work, but I'll give you a hand gesture.
Okay.
But I won't tell you what it means.
All right. Is it just going to be like a middle finger?
Yeah.
Peace,
right.
Sign.
What is your dream gig?
My dream gig would be being able to play to one person without freaking out.
Ooh, yeah. Like one singular person.
One singular person. I can't play to any, like I can't play in front of one person or even two people.
It's got to be a big group.
Yeah.
You can't see the faces.
Like
sort of thing.
I don't play in front of my family. I don't play in front of my cat. I don't play in front of anyone. I've got to be like, it's really hard for me. And I did do a couple of rehearsals in the past few weeks with Basie McPlayer.
Yeah.
Mm. I can't even play in front of him.
Wow.
So I had to actually get him to play guitar with me.
Okay.
Because I was freaking out too much.
Yeah.
Man, so. That's a real good answer. And I'm impressed at how quickly you came up with such a good answer.
It's honest. That's why.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I feel that's like great. Everyone would just be like, what's the biggest arena I can think of?
Sure,
that one.
Yeah.
That'd be fun response. Too. Don't get me wrong. But yeah. For me personally, it would be being able to play in front
from
of one person.
Yeah. Wow. Really cool.
What advice would you give to young songwriters? So what do you wish someone told you when you were starting out?
Don't listen to anyone's advice. Just do exactly what you want to do. If you want to scream into a hairbrush and record it through a tissue box or whatever, do it. Just do whatever you want. Yeah, YOLO.
That's awesome.
Just do it.
Except people listening to this.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Oh,
well,
I
in that case.
I could never listen to it.
probably don't do anything I've done. There's a very particular reason that I do things and it's not going to work if you do it. Huh. It's if you're looking for success, you're not going to find it. I'm anti-success. Mm, I just do it because I like doing it and it's a weird little game for me and it's fun.
Yeah.
I YOLO for me too. So this is what I want to do.
You found the anti-success success.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Sort of.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like YouTube. Like you got to do it not wanting to make money from it.
Because
if you do it because you want to make money,
it's not going
to work. No, for me, because I'm such a hermit, for me it's about being able to communicate with people because I can't really do it the other way.
Sure.
You know, I can't make friends with people or whatever. I'm really like odd. So being able to talk to people, even if it's through hidden lyrics or as a character or whatever, I can still sort of connect with other people, which is good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool.
My third thing.
Oh, here we go.
What advice would you give people who want to put on a good show? Because you guys put on a good show.
Okay. Well, are we talking like organizing the show or just like the band playing your show?
I think like the live performance.
The live performance. Okay.
So just be like, send emails.
send emails. Get a PA. Be honest. And if you're playing with a group of people, have fun together. You're working together to make something beautiful, even if it's, you know, just swearing for a minute and a half like we do with Traumatic Spiritual Awakening. It's fun. Have fun. Make friends with people that you play with. Support the other bands that you're going to see. Don't go to a show and then leave as soon as you've played. That's horrible.
So garbage.
Sure.
And love music. If you love it, it'll show and you'll enjoy the whole night and you'll enjoy talking to other people that are there because they love music too.
Yeah.
And if you're nervous, make yourself a character.
There you go. Nice.
And my other question is, what projects have you got on the horizon for Rue next?
For Rue, well.
And yourself? Any projects you got coming up?
Well, it'll be a little bit dated by the time this airs, but in a couple of days we're playing with the new drummer. So that's
very
another
exciting.
Person. It's another way of communicating. It's another set of influences and, you know, so that's going to be fun. Personally, I've got a new studio to build because I've just moved house and I'm you know, not sharing the other studio with Dean anymore. So I've got to find new equipment, different equipment and stuff that I like using, not necessarily what we had laying around.
Yeah, bring the curtain.
So, yeah, I've still got my sheets. And also I've been trying to play by myself and overcome the fear of playing in front of one person, that sort of thing. But also there's a song that I recorded with Baltimore Gun Club, who are a fantastic band. They call themselves Groner, which is a blend of grunge and stoner. And they've recorded an album recently. It's going to be coming out, I believe, in June. And there's a song on there called Highgate Hill, which isn't a Groner song, and they kindly had me perform on it. So that's going to be coming out soon. Nice. And I ordered it on vinyl, so I'm going to be able to hear myself on vinyl, which is kind of cool.
That's so cool.
That's real cool.
And, yeah, so there's that and I don't know, whatever else happens. I say yes to pretty much everything, so I don't know, whatever people want to do.
Yes. Well, you very kindly said yes to this show, is fantastic.
Thank you so much for asking me along. It was so exciting.
Yeah. Very good. You're out of questions. You've had your four questions.
I am.
Do you have more?
I mean, I do have other, like, I have boring questions like.
Yay.
Like what kind of, when you said you were building a studio, are you like doing the whole thing where you do like the soundproofing?
No. Just the bare essentials. Mm. Okay. I figure if I want to record something of a particular quality, I can pay someone and do that with them and trust their experience and their expertise.
Yeah.
I like doing it because I like learning about it as I go, as I do with playing music or writing music. I don't think I'm necessarily very good at any of it. I'm just really enjoying learning about it. So
what are the bare essentials? What is the least amount of things you need to have a studio?
Well, I've got a crappy microphone, but what actual program I want to use.
Yeah,
I've been talking to a lot of Uber drivers who are producers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, heaps of them. They're really cool. They always show me what they've been working on.
I would imagine so.
But yeah, I'm trying to narrow down the actual program that I'd like to use. Just a few bits and bobs. A lot of the equipment I have is very old and odd and doesn't always work in a recording environment, which is why it's fun. Yeah, you've got to try and make it work. So I've got a little room in the place I live in that would be perfect to soundproof. Whether or not I wouldn't be recording drums in there or anything, but just mostly for demos, or maybe I might do another piano based thing, another bedroom EP like Banshee was.
That's awesome.
Just whatever.
That's fucking cool.
No rules. So just,
no rules.
Just see what
however it moves you. That's awesome.
I do have two other things.
Yes.
I can say.
Here we go.
Firstly, I really enjoy that the most recent EP just ends with bippity bop.
Bippity bop. That's actually because I asked Dean and Shane to write on my guitar, and I said you can write whatever you want, and Dean has this cool like drum logo signature thingy that he does. And Shane goes, I don't know what to write. And he wrote, if it ain't got that bippity bop, it's got to stop. And I was just laughing the whole day about the bippity bop, and we're recording it. And it was kind of like a throwaway song. I didn't even think we were going to use it. And it was like bippity bop in the microphone and just left it.
Yeah.
So that's
awesome.
Yeah.
That's the end of the whole EP.
Yeah. And then it's got to stop, even though it's got the bippity bop.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's so funny.
And now having spoken to you, I feel like the question has been answered, but who are your influences? Because I'm getting blues and then metal and then hard rock and then mellow stuff and then country. And I was like, what's going on?
I love the old blues and jazz singers. I think one of my favorite songs in the world is Ball and Chain, written by Willie May, Big Mama Thornton, and Janis Joplin did a fantastic cover of that quite famously at the Monterey Pop Festival, I believe, and that's where their band Big Brother and the Holding Company sort of kicked off from this beautiful song. I like a lot of really old stuff. There's some tape my auntie gave me and it's got some song on there called Who's Gonna Feed Them Hogs, and you know, I don't know who it is or what it is, but it's, I don't know why, it's kind of catchy. And yeah, I like listening to things like Murder Ballads by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Or a lot of those sort of concept-y albums.
Yeah.
I really like that sort of stuff. A lot of just weird stuff. There's a movie called The Secret of Ron Innes, and it's about Selkies. and there's this soundtrack on it, and I have no idea what these beautiful voices are singing about in Irish.
Oh, right.
But like, they're singing about, they're singing about something, but it's just gorgeous, you know. I don't think it really matters the genre as long as there's something in it that sort of connects with you.
Yeah. That's like, so cool.
Good music is good.
Good, exactly. It's good is good.
Yeah. Good is good. Yeah. That's a good quote for this episode.
Good is good.
Yeah.
And suck is suck.
Do you have anything you want to say, James?
Oh, man. I think that about does it. Do you have anything more you want to add on?
I mean, I was going to ask if you wanted to plug anything.
Oh, yes. By the time this hits the internets, we'll be playing a show on the 25th of May. I'm going to go by memory, stuff that fine.
Yes,
you got we're this. Playing at, for BL Events, and that's Broken Leg Boys. They've made their own event company at Kerwick Hotel in Red Bank. Free entry. You can see, okay, Goldstool are headlining.
Yep.
Baltimore Gun Club before them. Uh-huh. Goatzilla before them, Periapsis before them, and Rue are opening the show. And for a little surprise, we're, you know, featuring our brand new drummer, JP, who we're going to call, whether he likes it or not, Tappy McTap-Tap. That's going to be his character name. And we haven't even rehearsed with him yet. And
oh, really?
He thinks he's auditioning, but he's totes not. We just decided he's in. We've never even played together. So.
I love that. Well, congratulations to Tappity Tap Tap.
Tappity Tap. Tappy McTap. I want to change
Tappy
it to that.
Tappy McTap Tap. I'm so sorry. No, I'm disrespected.
I wish it was Tappity Tap Tap. That's even better. Maybe I'll change it before
Maybe,
then.
Maybe.
Tappity Tap Tap.
I have to go get it legally changed, go to court. It's not Tappy McTap Tap.
It's hard changing your name. Oh, I've done that so before. My goodness. It takes a long time.
You'll have to go to the gig to see whether the drummer.
Tappity Tap Tap. Tappity Tap Tap.
You have to go check them out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Thank you both very much for having
me.
We've
had a great time.
It's such a fun thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm. Yeah. Do you have any closing remarks there, Alex?
Well, I usually plug my shit.
Please do. Yes.
I've got if you liked me as a person, I'm a musician as well. Because we get a lot of listeners that are not our listeners. Usually we have people supporting the wonderful guests that we have on.
Yeah.
If you've enjoyed me, I'm a musician. I'm called Your Man Alex Smith, and I'm on Bandcamp and Spotify and iTunes. And I just started a Patreon.
Yeah.
Yay.
Pretty okay at the moment. James, did you want to plug anything?
I have another podcast.
You get a final plug.
Yeah. Okay.
I have another podcast on the network. It's called Unfeatured Articles. So you can go check that out if you're so interested. I believe, yes, by the time this goes up, we might be in the middle of a show called Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which I am stage managing.
Ooh.
So that is at Ad Astra in the Valley. It's on Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. You can get all the details on Facebook. Ad Astra has an event for that. You can probably check that out. It's good. Is what I'll say about it.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome. Jeez, you two have so much cool stuff going on. That's cool.
And do you have anything else?
Yeah, if you liked me, you won't see me live because I'll be in character and I usually hang out with my cat, so go get stuffed.
Nice. Love that. There you go. Well, how do we close this show? I've forgotten. What's our end off, our send off?
Well, usually we'll be like, and now we're going to listen to the new song.
Oh, of course. That's right.
Would you like to introduce the new song?
Oh, yes. So this is the last sort of single thingy that Rue's put out. That's weird. It sounds like I'm talking about myself in the third person. Rue the Band.
Yeah.
The latest single.
Have you not encountered this problem before?
I haven't really thought about it, as with most things. So this song's called Malicious Delicious. I wrote it quite a long time ago on piano, of all things, but this is, like I was talking about, arranging it for the specific people you're playing with and their style, what they like and how they like to play live and how it's going to sound all together. So it's not piano. That's all I'm going to say.
It's not piano. Yep. All right. Well, let's check out Malicious Delicious. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Nice.
I'm waking to your smile and crashing to the pain. Girl, crushing to my smile. Shitting grin is all I give to you. Come on, girl, and hiding from the misery. And he's dedicated for some.
What should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainty Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.